Good morning. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Chairman of the Commission, Randy Christman, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. Will you please join me in pledging allegiance to our great nation?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Regarding opening comments, I noticed an interesting graphic in the Bismarck Tribune yesterday and just wanted to comment about it. It talks about the hottest places in the United States, not the hottest specific spots, but all of the United States' hottest places over the years. And I don't know, it's mentioned in here, I don't know if it had to do with this proclamation that, what was it, Monday or whenever, was supposedly the hottest day in the history of the world. And I'm not sure how they really know that, but whatever. But anyway, out of all the 50 states' record high temperatures, and I don't know these, I don't know if there were any in the 1800s, but I mean, I'm presuming that maybe in the earliest years of our republic, maybe no one was keeping track of it that much. And so maybe some of these go back to the very early 1900s. So we're probably talking about 125 or 150 years. You would think if everything were just a general course that all the, you know, there'd be a record for each state about every 3 or 4 years, right? But with all the climate change, you would think there would be more than one every 3 or 4 years in the 2000s. So one interesting thing I want to point out in here, I counted 6 states whose record highs are in the 2000s. And 2 of those are tied with another date of the same temperature before the 2000s. So there's really not, there's a disproportionately few records set in the last 23 years. The other thing, out of all these states' records, there's at least a dozen of them where either, like North Dakota, where the single record, or where it's a tie between a few years, but where at least a dozen set a high temperature in their history in 1936. With all of the conservation alerts and things like that that I see going on now on just hot summer days, if it doesn't happen to be windy over a significant region of the state and the various RTOs, I don't know that we could, under any circumstances, navigate and keep the lights on throughout a summer like we had in 1936. And that is very alarming to think that we're struggling right now with our expectations of air conditioning and things like that, with the amount of employment that takes place indoors compared to what was happening 90 years ago. But it is astounding to think of how we would handle what happened back in 36. So just wanted to point that out. That was very interesting stuff.
Wow, you gave me something to think about. So, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I have no additional comments.
Randy, you and I obsessed over the same map this weekend. Because I also, it must be because we, for the first time in my working here, have like a hard copy of the Bismarck Tribune, which I've missed. Dear Lynn, my husband and I don't get it at home, so That is, it's been really fun to have the actual paper to pull over and hold. And I was looking at that map too, and I picked out different things. First of all, I wanted to rush to Pamela and tell her that Steele had the record temperature in 1936 of 136, wasn't
121.
It? 121. 121. Anyway, I was, that was amazing. And I was amazed by how many of the temperatures in the red bars, which were above 120, were in the northern half of this country, not in the south where you would expect them to be. So I thought it was interesting as well, and noted how many of those high temps came pre-industrialization. So, you know, the scientists say that it's human causes of global warming, and that the trend is hotter. And I don't have the background to contradict that. But anecdotally, things like this do kind of put a little bit of a question mark on some of the alarmist calls that are out there right now. So with that, I don't have any other opening comments, except to say that a few of us will be heading next week into the oven of Austin, Texas, for the summer policy summit for NARUC, and looking forward to participating there. And I will be leading a general session, so that's a session for the entire membership attending that event, titled On the Brink, and it is all about the ability of the utilities to meet the growing demands for electricity, while the EPA is coming out with more and more regulations to retire significant portions of our thermal fleet in a very short time period. So talking to some utility execs and RTO operators from around the country about how they think they're going to meet these goals and maintain the reliability that we all count on. So really looking forward to that meeting and being there with other members of our team, including, I believe, Sherry. So thank you.
Well, North Dakota certainly benefits from your leadership in that organization, which you will have full leadership of next year. Thank you for doing that. I thought you were going to point out that a disproportionate number of these records occurred during the summer months. with that, agenda could be a little confusing. There were 5 items on consent, but one needed a little more work, so it was pulled. So right now, there are 4 items on consent. I move approval of those and the minutes of the previous meetings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Haugenhoffert, the ball's in your court.
Thank you. I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement in Public Service Commission MP Technologies LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-22-425. Second. Thank you, Julie. On December 19th, the Commission received a one-call complaint from Summit Utilities regarding an alleged violation by MP Technologies concerning 2 points. The time, according to North Dakota Century Code, the 2 issues were excavation in time of emergency and maintaining location markings. So the staff, advocacy staff, did their due diligence and corresponded with MP Technologies. They responded back. And in review, some of the discussion points that what they were doing was putting, placing gas service in Maine to a twin home. And it was a twin home A and B, as they indicated with the units. It was not occupied at that time. And so they got a location ticket, one for unit A, one for unit B. They extended the ticket. And so new numbers were given. And then on December 19th at 9:30, MP Tech provided the notice to North Dakota One Call to begin the work on December 22nd at the Twin Home. And then one call, again, assigned a ticket number, which indicated the type of work to be performed was placing gas service in main. Then about an hour later, they called and to begin work on the other Twin Home and did the same thing, but they added not only placing gas service in main, but stated emergency crew on site. On March 27th, staff received a response regarding from MT Technology regarding what was, you know, the emergency, and they said there was no heat situated in the middle of December. So we're dealing with some cold temperatures that were going on. But it's important to note that, again, the Twin Home was not occupied. So advocacy staff and met with MP and went through the North Dakota Century Code. And the Century Code is very clear on what constitutes, what is an emergency, according to the definition. And even though there was inclement weather, cold weather, it was agreed that it was misuse of that Century Code. So therefore, the consent agreement was reached, and MP is assessed a civil penalty of $1,000 with $500 suspended on the condition that they commit no further violation to the North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23 within 5 years of the date of the order. They will remit the civil penalty to us within 10 business days. And in the event that commission finds they have violated any further within the 5 years, they will be assessed that $500 and in addition to any fines or penalties imposed on the subsequent violation. So I want to thank advocacy staff for doing good work on this and investigating it, and I approve the consent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Go ahead.
I just want to comment. I support this, and I think it's a, you know, common sense approach. I do want to acknowledge, though, that it looks to me, in reading how this all happened, the company was trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
They got the tickets. They extended the tickets. And they, for whatever reason, didn't get out there in time, and the ticket had expired, and they caught it, which a lot of times doesn't even happen, that they catch that the person doing the digging caught, or before somebody caught, before they went out and started digging, that the notice had expired. And then, you know, you can see how it would happen. They've got the crews, they're ready to go, so they do the emergency thing, which, you know, obviously didn't meet the standards for that. But I do want to just comment that I appreciate the efforts that the company did make to follow the law. And they had marked everything, and those marks were probably still relevant. So I do support this. I'm glad to see that $500 is suspended, because I think $1,000 under these conditions, recognizing what the company was trying to do, probably would have been too much, but I support the consent agreement and appreciate staff's efforts to work with this company and educate them, as well as I appreciate their efforts to follow the law.
Is there any further discussion?
I will just add to that. You know, if you think back to last November and December, you know, every couple days the markings were probably gone.
Well, that's true.
Instead of 2 weeks. And so that also falls into it. I want to say, aside from the particulars of this case, in recent months, when we have had any settlements on on-call issues, there weren't suspensions, and I was worried that maybe we were getting away from that, because I have thought over the years that suspensions of portions of penalties can serve a really useful and legitimate purpose. And so I'm glad to see that that's still something that's on the table with our staff that works on these things. So, cool. kudos to them.
Randy, if I might say, I also had noticed that and worried that, and am glad to see them back on the table and had made such comments to staff that I liked them too. Maybe you did as well, but I think it's appropriate. It's a good tool, and support that as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Can I just make one more comment on we're on this? On July 28th, which is a Friday, North Dakota One Call, it's going to be 811 Call Before You Dig at the North Dakota State Fair. And it's a collaboration of a lot of stakeholders up there at the North Dakota State Fair promoting the program and the importance of Call Before You Dig. So if you're up in the Minot area on the 28th, feel free to stop at the fair and by our booth and talk to us.
What, most importantly, what are the freebies, Sherry?
You have to stop by and find out.
Okay. That will stand in recess and then take questions from the press. And after that, we will reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting. The commission is in recess.
Have you seen...
We don't have any items, but because I neglected it during the regular meeting, I'll just make a couple of announcements on our scheduling. We have an informal hearing tomorrow afternoon with Otter Tail Power Company. That is case PU-23-176, and that is an amendment to their Laverne Wind siting certificate. They will want to repower that, and it changes the height of the turbines and such. The biggest thing that I want to point out is from the regular commission meeting schedule that was put out at the beginning of the year, our next regular meeting is Thursday, July 27th. That has been canceled because of a conflict. And so the next commission meeting will be a special commission meeting on Wednesday, August 2nd. And take note, that's at 1:30 p.m., not the normal starting time. And then after that, we'll be back on schedule. So 1:30 p.m., August 2nd, a Wednesday, that is our next meeting. With that, we are adjourned.